receive a lot of emails from students, particularly those interested in genetic counseling. It's always great to connect and when I can provide resources. So I thought I'd let you know of Keck Graduate Institute's summer classes. KGI offers resources for undergrads, including an intro genetics course that explores how the information in DNA contributes to diseases, physical traits, and other inherited characteristics. This is a great way to expose yourself to genetics, test out if you want to pursue a career in the field, refresh on some topics, prep for grad school, so many different reasons to take a summer course. Learn more and browse all of their courses by visiting kgi.edu/DNA today. Again, that's kgi.edu/DNA today.
How is it that we find ourselves surrounded by such complexity, such elegance?
The genes of you and me,
the genes of you and me,
we're all made of DNA.
We're all made of the same chemical DNA.
Hello, you're listening to DNA Today, a genetics podcast and radio show. I'm your host, Kira Dineen. On this show, I explore genetics and how it impacts our health, usually through interviews with genetic counselors, researchers, doctors, patient advocates, and more. Today's a different kind of episode, though. I have a bunch of fellow first-year genetic counseling students with me from the Sarah Lawrence program. And in a way, this is a follow-up episode from the two earlier episodes where we discussed the application process. So if you're thinking about or planning on applying to genetic counseling grad school, definitely check out those episodes. They are episode 87 and 97. It was a two-parter. Lots of useful info in there. But anyway, I'm sitting with my classmates from Sarah Lawrence College. There's four of us here, class of 30, and we are wrapping up our first year of grad school. And we thought we'd offer our experience and how we prepare to start grad school because it's match day. Happy match day, people.
Happy match day!
Happy match day! Happy match day.
So I figure we'll go around and kind of introduce ourselves and get into how to prepare for grad school.
Okay, hi, I'm Ashlyn Enochian, and I'm from Michigan. I studied criminal justice and biology in undergrad, and I committed to genetic counseling my junior year.
I'm Maria Van Norden. I'm from British Columbia, Canada, and I have a Bachelor of Science and a Master of Science from University of Victoria, and I found out about genetic counseling in my first year of my undergrad.
There's the accent.
Hi, I'm Carl Cron. I'm also from British Columbia, Canada. I have a Bachelor of Science, major in biology from the University of Fraser Valley. And I found out about genetic counseling in my first year of university, but started thinking of it as a viable career option in my third year.
I'm from Connecticut, and I got a degree in cytogenetics. Diagnostic genetics, cytogenetics concentration. And I wanted to be a genetic counselor since I was, I don't know, graduating high school, I guess. So,
aww, so cute.
long time coming. I'm finally here, I guess. So congrats to everyone who got in for match day. This is a long-awaited day for many people.
Yeah, well done, guys. And just be sure to thank the people who helped you during the application process. It's been a long time coming. So just all those people who send out letters for you, just send them a thank you back. They did a lot of help for you.
And for those of you who didn't match this year, it is totally okay. Don't give up. 3/4 of us didn't get in on our first try. Just keep on trucking. It's an amazing career path. So just motivation to try again.
So it's a lot of work to get into these programs. So congrats for getting to this point. And if you haven't, like Maria said, to go and try again. And hopefully this episode kind of inspires you to do that and stick with it. Because a lot of people don't get in their first round, and so many fantastic genetic counselors are in that position. So applying twice is kind of a normal thing, I think, in the application cycle. In terms of figuring out classes that you needed to take, what kind of classes did you guys have to take once you found out you got in?
So all programs have different prerequisites, so this is probably a good time to check back with like your program's website, whether you matched or whether you're, you know, looking at kind of what classes you need to take on your gap year. So during my gap year, I had applied to, I think, like 6 or 7 programs, and they all had a lot of the same prerequisites, but then there were a few classes that didn't match. Like, one program had embryology, one program had a calculus prerequisite. So just based on, you know, time and finances, I had to kind of wait until I actually matched.
Which is smart. I did not do that.
Yeah. You made more work for yourself. But yeah, I waited to match, and then I could, you know, check and be like, okay, what did this program require? So the only outstanding class I actually had was clinical embryology, which is important to have before you come to Sarah Lawrence.
And you took the Cincinnati course, yeah. Right? Yeah. So I took that one too. And DJ is amazing.
Yes.
Like, want him to, like, go to every school and teach embryology. So that's an awesome course. When it was recorded, I think it was recorded in 08. Mm-hmm. So now it's, like, 10 years old, unless they've re-recorded. I mean, I haven't kept up with it.
I hope not, because they're amazing.
Yeah, I know. Unless he re-records them, then that is amazing.
That's true. With his pool noodle.
People are like, what are they talking about? So I also had to take biochem. I took that during application, so, like, January, February. And if you want the information for those, I think they're on the application on episode 87 on the blog post on there, but you can also just email in. I can send you that information.
And if you didn't get in this time around, you can always contact the schools that you interviewed at, or if you didn't get interviews, and kind of just ask them what you can do to increase the odds of you getting in the next year. So mm-hmm. if that's redoing courses.
Come in as a stronger applicant.
Yeah, yeah. So there's nothing wrong with contacting schools and seeing what you have to do.
Yeah, they're really great about giving feedback. Like, I actually had personal phone calls with all the directors for my first round. So yeah, they were pretty open about it.
Yeah.
It can be a hurdle to get through, but, you know, you end up being able to take other things. But one of the other hurdles, that's a good transition, is the financial aspect. How can we not mention this, right?
Money.
So how have we managed this? Because it's not, grad school isn't cheap. Other programs, you end up getting stipends and things like that, but that's not how genetic counseling works in North America.
So for loans and financial aid, all I can say is that you should start as early as possible because it is a really long and complicated process.
Definitely.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it also helps to have a budget. I love the Mint budgeting website. Mm-hmm. They have an app as well. It lets me just break down my rent, utilities, all my costs. We all moved to New York City, and that's super exciting. So you need an eat-in budget, and you also need an eat-out budget because the food here is amazing. You want to know kind of how much you can spend each month. And also, I came from working construction before this, so I had a lot more money at my disposable income, but now it's much less. So you have to just you have to be weary of how much you can spend each month.
But you also still have to, like, live. And for a lot of people that are coming to New York City, like, I don't live too far from here, like, growing up wise. But for you guys, like, you all came to New York City, so you're like, get the experience. And I'm like, well, I just sit in my room and podcast. So. Yeah.
For me, I was, like, always so excited. And I think every single person that I told about coming to Sarah Lawrence was like, oh, it's really expensive there.
Yeah, it is.
City, but that's one of the things that makes it so exciting and amazing. Definitely.
And I think one thing to help with that is having a job during grad school. I would say most of our class has jobs to some degree, like whether it's babysitting or tutoring or having grad assistant jobs like you guys do, or working for an online company. Ashley and I work for My Gene Counsel, so that's been a cool experience because it's also within genetic counseling.
Yeah, I actually, like, recently just this year started an internship, and I do genetics graphic design, so I kind of work in patient advocacy for their living lab report, and I think that it's just a really amazing opportunity just to kind of have some genetics related experience during school. So I would recommend doing that, but I know sometimes it's more about finances versus experience.
Totally.
So, yeah.
And if you're an international student like Carl and I, you don't have a choice. You have to work on campus. So if you want to make money, you need to have a job on campus, and I think most of the schools are pretty good with that. But for us, we work at kind of doing odd jobs on campus. So I work at the president's office.
And I work at the fitness desk of the gym on campus. And they're pretty accommodating with our schedule. So I find that helpful. They know we're grad students and they know we have a lot of commitment outside of the little job that we do have. So it works. It's a good...
Definitely.
It's good pay.
And we know it's a lot of money, and I think that was the biggest shock. Like, you get in, you're like, woo! And then you get the first bill, and you're like, oh, no!
It's not just a dream anymore. It's a reality. Yeah,
it's like, oh, this is real. You have to pay for that dream.
Yes, 100%. But it is the best investment, and genetic counselors make a... okay, decent, pretty well.
It's like 88,000 is the average. So
and
that's
climbing.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yes. And
climbing.
Yeah, I like that.
Because that. Yeah, so 2018 was for the professional status survey from NSGC was 88,000. And then for 2016, 2 years before that, was 81,000. So it's climbing, you
know?
Look
at that.
Yeah.
Love it.
So you will get your money back very quickly.
Yes, exactly.
So Maria and Carl, as international students, what are the extra steps you guys had to take that Ashlyn and I did not have to take being Americans?
For sure. One of the big ones is healthcare, and Sarah Lawrence essentially makes you use their healthcare plan, which
is not an option.
Not an option. they make you. It's a little expensive, but at the end of the day, I enjoy the peace of mind knowing I'm fully covered and they have a good plan for us. So it's
otherwise
expensive.
We'd have to like ship you back to Canada to get
fixed. Yeah,
back
exactly.
Here.
So
yes, and the other thing is a visa. So for pretty much everyone, you need to have a visa to be here, but the process was really, really easy, way easier than I thought it would be. So we kind of just got an email, we're told what to do, we had to fill out forms, and then you kind of just show up in the country. So
welcome.
Yeah, they welcome.
Welcome
you
to America. Welcome to New York.
Yes, but it seems a lot more daunting before, and then during the process, did you find it too? It was just...
It worked out.
It worked out, yeah.
So was it a student visa specifically, or how? I have no idea how this works.
Yes. Okay. So I'm here on an F1 visa. How about you?
Same here.
Yes, twinsies.
Yeah.
But you just make sure you keep track of all of the forms that the office here gives you, as well as the government, and just make sure you travel with them all the time. Every time you cross a border, like going back home to Canada for us, make sure you have those forms. If you just keep a little book, it'll work
out. Yeah, I brought two Canadians over the border in January, and they like check all their forms.
I keep them so close to my body at all times, so like no one get near me and my F1 visa.
Exactly. And then another thing, which is not just for international students, but just maybe out-of-state students, if you're flying in, we both from the other side of Canada, so we both flew in, Maria and myself. We had to fit everything into two suitcases. That's something to just think about as you're, I'm not sure if you're moving a house, you're moving just a bedroom, but slowly minimize the things you do have and try and keep it into 250-pound bags. Also, just...
Get a scale.
Yes, definitely. What also just helps, we moved into a new apartment in New York City, and just buying a mattress that is in a box that can get delivered or that you can physically haul up some stairs helps so much. So there's definitely some online mattress brands that...
This is where I should be like, casper.com/DNA today.
Yes.
Get your 10% off.
Casper is a new way of life for myself, so I encourage that.
So how did it work with everyone going about like finding housing and being able to move, finding roommates? I mean, for me, I think that was the most stressful part. Like, since I wasn't having it visas and I was moving an hour away.
Yeah. Just an hour.
Just hop down the road.
So gently.
Yeah, that was a bit stressful. But once you get to know your classmates, it's kind of, you can figure out who can be eligible roommates. We created a Facebook group pretty quickly.
Shout out Lauren Frank on that one.
Yeah, only a few days after we all got matched, we were already all communicating on Facebook. So that was a huge resource to kind of find people who want to live in the same area. I think that's the biggest thing. Everyone, we all gel as a class, but it's definitely where people want to live is a big deciding factor, who you pair up with.
And I think it was exciting, like on match day, we all got an email like, these are your fellow students. Yeah. And it was just like a mass email of 30 of us. And so that was like very exciting, you know, thinking back to that day. And I was like, wow, these are my people for like 2 years and hopefully longer if people like me, you know.
Of course. 2 years.
So, like, oh, we're getting rid of this one.
Expiration date on that.
Don't invite me to the reunion. Another aspect that we were considering is like commuting. I know we were talking about that before recording and just how that works.
The big thing is... New York City is huge, and you don't really know where your rotations are going to be. The only thing that you know is where the college is. And so you kind of have to decide, do you want to be near the college? Do you want to live in the city? There's all these different factors. And I know for Ashlyn and I, we kind of jumped on the boat of the now second years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I got in touch with them, like we actually through email, like when we initially matched. I actually found the house that I'm currently living in with two second years from former students. So I actually live in like a historic Yonkers home that's been passed through SLC's program. And the reason it is the GC house. And the reason I wanted to live there is because many people had graduated before me. So I thought the energy was good. So that was really great. And also I didn't have a car. So I'm able to like walk to campus, but now we carpool.
That's why actually friends with me. Yeah. Truth comes out on air.
You know, it's survival of the fittest in New York City, okay? So, but you know, I think that per house, it's usually helpful to have like at least one car.
I feel like
in Yonkers is what I'm saying.
Yeah, if you're talking about somewhere like Pittsburgh, I think you can really get around without, especially for them, students get free transportation in the city. But if you're somewhere like Brandeis or other places, I'm trying to think of like other places that aren't like in a city but outside, I think it's definitely something to consider. And for most first year programs, it's going to be a course heavy first year, so you're not rotating as much. That's why I think most of us lived close to campus, thinking about that.
And you can always talk to the class ahead of you and kind of see what they did, and also finances, and prioritizing correctly.
It's been a long day.
It has been a long day. But if you want to live in the city because you want that environment and that's worth the money and it's worth the commute, that's great. Do it. Mm-hmm. You live in the city. Do you like it?
I do. I love it. Thanks for that. Yeah. You're so my partner and I, we live in the city and we love it. It was important for us to be close to a subway system, to be able to access all of what New York City, the five boroughs have to offer. We enjoy it. We do. Our roommate, though, has a car, and that is there also is. Crucial yeah. because it really helps our commute to only be about 25 minutes to campus. You'll have, in the first year at Sarah Lawrence, you'll have 3 days of class and then 1 day rotation. And the rotation, you don't necessarily know where in the city you will be, but our instructors will kind of help us put us at rotation spots that are accessible. Then I can use, on my rotation day, I can use the subway system to get where I need to be. So that's important.
And I wish that I had lived closer to the subway. Mm-hmm. I think that would have been much easier. I think not really knowing the area was hard to mm-hmm. figure that out. I thought I was closer than I was, but I think that's something to consider of if you're living near a city mm-hmm. to be on mm-hmm. whatever their line is.
Definitely.
I actually, if it's called a subway other places. But.
Yeah, you're reminding me, like, I signed less than a week after MASH.
Which is
like,
insane.
I was so eager and I like had my spreadsheets and everything ready. But I just want to say a pro tip that I thought was really helpful when I was moving is I actually bought furniture from the people who are graduating. Mm. And some of it was even free. So I think that, you know, when you're making this big move, it's super expensive, you know, separate from just actual tuition costs. Mm-hmm. So that saved me tons of time and money. Mm-hmm. And I was able to just kind of arrive and have a lot of the stuff here from Michigan. So that was like a super easy transition. I just kind of had to move to the new house.
Because U-Hauls are expensive.
They are.
As we were saying earlier, in the first year, it's definitely more course focused for I think pretty much all the programs.
I
can't think of a program that's pretty even on that. And then the second year, you're more focused on rotation. So for us, Carl was saying that we have 3 days a week, we have classes, 1 day rotation, and 1 day that's kind of a flex day to get all of our work done. And then that flips the next year. We have, 2 days of classes?
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then
2 days rotation. Yeah. So it's gonna get more intense next year for sure. Let's shout some out of what kind of classes we took this year.
Well, I think that Sarah Lawrence is known kind of for the pretty 50-50,
yeah.
you know, medical genetics versus psychosocial classes. So mm-hmm. what we take, like genetics, embryology.
Pathophysiology.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
We pediatric genetics.
Yeah. We had cancer.
Yeah.
Repro.
Nice.
Research.
Yeah, research. So we had like all the specialties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This
clinical
year.
Genomics. I think that's most of them.
Yeah.
Which is a lot. That's just the cancer. Or cancer. We're in a cancer exclusive program. that's just the genetics courses.
And then we had a lot of psychosocial, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Definitely.
Fundamentals is genetic counseling.
Yeah.
Yep, that is probably the core class of this whole program.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in the name, fundamentals of genetic counseling.
Where we do role plays and where we practice, like, the skills, so we kind of learn about them in class, and then we actually act on it.
Yeah.
And then we can kind of practice, you know, depending on your rotation, you kind of have those experiences. But mm-hmm. we have ethics, public health, like other kind of standard.
Peer issues.
Professional issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we have lots of issues.
we have a lot of issues here. Yeah.
And we had the self-awareness workshop.
Which that was amazing.
Wonderful.
I loved that.
Yeah. Those were really, really cool.
Shout out Amanda on that one.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah, those were phenomenal.
And so another aspect that we were talking about is rotation. And so this was kind of a class and a rotation. So at Sarah Lawrence, it's called Disability Service Learning. And at Brandeis, they have a very similar program. Apparently I know a lot about Brandeis. I don't know. Did I rank them second? Who knows? I can say that. That's just, we're a year out,
right? You
can't
disclose your rank.
It's match day.
Well,
I can.
One. They won't disclose to us, though. Which right. I think is unfair. Yeah.
We
don't want to know.
The rank list comes out. So Disability Service Learning was a class. And along with that course on campus, we all went to a rotation where we were really volunteering with people that have disabilities. Carl and I were at the same site at Richmond Community Services.
And we had a fun time helping adults with disabilities where we would go on walks with them. They had a lot of people were in gait trainers, so we'd help them go for a nice walk. We'd play games with them, do crafts.
We did bowling a lot.
Bowling.
That was fun.
Yes.
Pumpkins. We carved pumpkins.
Yeah, it was a really good time.
That was messy,
that does
but
sound
it was
like
really
a fun time.
Yeah, we went on like walks outside and like.
I
want
to go bowling.
I know.
Yeah. All right, after this.
No. Okay. We don't have time to go bowling.
We need to study. But yeah, I think that was a good experience for a lot of people. They don't have experience with people with disabilities as much.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So I think it kind of catches everyone up to have exposure to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you guys were with kids, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so I was with kids grades 6 through 12 at a public school in the Bronx. Most of the children I worked with were on the autism spectrum. They had intellectual disability, cognitive delays, some emotional disturbance or sensory impairment. What about you, Maria?
So I was in similar with kids. It was from K to 12. I was at the Rebecca School, which is a phenomenal school. Yeah, we were in classrooms and we were placed in them, and it was just an amazing experience. And I think what makes our program unique is that we have this focus on disability, and that's kind of why we started out in this rotation. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a really nice way to start off the program. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of transitioned from there into our mm-hmm. clinical rotations, which was really cool.
So for our clinical rotations, where was everyone at? Like in terms of specialty, I guess.
Prenatal.
Where were we? I was prenatal and cancer.
Yeah. I'm working in telemedicine and fertility and cancer.
Cool.
So we all kind of have different experiences there, and that for us was mostly observing. I really only observed because I did my rotation kind of in a different way. I did it more back-to-back where you guys were all going like every other week. I think you, Ashlyn, you definitely jumped into some sessions doing, taking pedigrees and...
Yeah, it was actually amazing because, you know, with telemedicine as my first rotation, I wasn't sure how involved I'd be able to get, but I actually started taking pedigrees and doing patient education, mostly just explanations of inheritance and the GINA law. So I've actually done a good amount remotely, and I'm really excited to kind of like jump into summer now.
Yeah, I think it sets you up nicely for summer, like already to have that experience. Like, you know, I'll play catch up. But
I've been really lucky too. I've been able to do some pedigrees, been case prepping. I got to call out some negative NIPS results, which was cool. Wow.
I did a couple call outs. Yeah. That's all I've done.
Which was a good experience. And I got to see a CVS. So that was also super cool.
Yeah, okay. I saw one of those too.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah. Cool. Learning firsthand.
Yeah.
And I'm doing prenatal in the Bronx. It's a super diverse patient population, so it's been really enjoyable to see all kinds of people walk through the doors. And the genetic counselors there have been very helpful. Some are recent grads, so it's a really good learning environment for me, I find.
For our thesis, that's kind of a it was kind of an anxiety provoking thing for most of us in the beginning, but now it's been worked out and everything. So do we want to go around and kind of like say a little bit about our thesis?
Sure,
Maria.
Me and my partner are doing polygenic risk scores for cardiovascular disease, and I'm really enthused about it, and that's
you're
all
so
I'm gonna...
pumped. You're always pumped about everything, but specifically your thesis.
Yeah, specifically the thesis.
You're like reading 50 papers a week.
Yes. Yeah.
But you created yours, right?
Yeah, which was really cool. Which was really fun and really cool.
So I think most programs you can create your own, I think.
Yes.
Sarah Lawrence, I remember this was on my T-chart when I was deciding what school to go to. well, it was a spreadsheet, but you know, part of it was a T-chart. Sarah Lawrence comes up with topics that they can like kind of match you with. So it was like a whole nother matching system. Mm-hmm. But Carl, you also came up with your own.
But I also did. In my work with my partner, we're doing, this is our working title right now. It's called An Analysis of Fitness-Related Direct-to-Consumer Genetic Testing. My partner and I were super interested into sports and fitness and athletes and what they can do and what the genome tells us about what they can do. We're not really sure that the genome can say a whole lot, but we want to know what marketers are doing. Marketers? What businesses are doing to sell their product to help people with their advancement in fitness.
Which is super cool.
Yeah.
It's super cool. Which is multiple people are saying it.
Yes.
And then Ashlyn and I are actually working together.
How do you feel about working together?
Yeah. Is that a good thing?
It's terrible.
Wow. Tell us how you really feel, Kira.
So this is kind of a funny story because I was trying to come up with topics with someone else to figure out, you know, okay, we got to come up with our own thing. We got to make it our own projects and everything. And we were just coming up blank. Like we were like trying to think for weeks and we're like, I don't know, I guess we'll go with this Sarah Lawrence, you know, match round two with this thesis. Yeah, there's some flashbacks there. It was interesting. So we both ranked genetics in the courtroom. I ranked it second.
I actually ranked it third.
And you ranked it third.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we found out, Laura Hersher, I don't know if you guys know her, but she's our, what is her official title? Research. She's our director of research, I think.
She does a lot of things.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Many hats. But yeah, so she was like, all right, I'm telling you your thesis. And the room's like silent. And it was like, everybody's freaking out. She's going through and whatever. And she says, okay, like genetics in the courtroom, Kira Dineen, longest pause. I'm like, okay, I'm doing this by myself. And then she's like, Ashlyn. And then we were just silent.
I was shook. Silent. And I turned to
Kira. We actually do like each other. I don't know.
Despite
people are like, do they hate each other?
Despite how this sounds, but it actually ended up working perfect. And
But it was funny because it was just, we didn't like look at each other or sound, because no one was like, woo, or like,
I know,
into it. So I was like, okay, I can't be too into
this. Was really serious. And then Laura was like, oh, do you guys hate each other? And we're like sitting next to each other every day of every class. And I was like, no, I love her.
She's like, happy Valentine's
Day. It was on Valentine's Day. I can't forget.
But yeah, so I mean, I'm really lucky because Ashlyn actually has a degree, as you know, you guys heard at the beginning of the
degree.
Yeah, I fudged my degree. Somehow I'm here. Yeah, so Ashlyn actually has a degree in law.
Yeah,
and her project
so cool.
is genetics in the courtroom, so.
I just want to say shout out to Mama E because she is so happy I'm finally using that degree. So we've been utilizing genetics and criminal justice for years, which is kind of things that I studied in undergrad. But our project actually focuses on the unexplored relationship between genetics and civil law.
So we're really excited to kind of dive into it, and we've been reading lots of papers. I've been learning about law. I think I've made some progress on that. Had to have some lessons with Ash about how things work in America.
No, she's doing amazing.
Can you teach me too?
Yeah, I got some.
Help the Canadians.
Yeah, we'll start a new podcast about
that's
American
gonna be a whole
law.
Course. Okay. Canadians to America. Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, thesis can be daunting, but I think once you break it up into bits, it really is very obtainable and kind of, you know, looking at collecting sources and then your lit review and always touching base with your mentors and advisors and everything like that. And yeah, most other programs I think have, you can kind of figure out your own. I think Sarah Lawrence is kind of unique in that sense, but I was glad because I could not come up with anything. So I think that worked out well. Something else that I think helps transition into grad school and everything is mentor programs.
Yeah, and Sarah Lawrence has a great mentorship program, and we know that other schools also have mentorship programs.
Yeah, I know BU does. I have a friend up there, and okay. She was like, oh, yeah, we match people up based on, you
stop
know, how
similar
match. They are. I know. It's
they
match
did.
Day.
It's
I'm
over.
Going to keep saying.
But we like to pair up second-year students with incoming first-year students, so that's a great way to get to know people in the program and kind of have just someone who you can talk to and someone who you can talk to in the beginning of the summer, so you have a bit of a transition into the summer months before you're actually getting to your new school's location. So I had a great second year, and she helped me immensely just through emails, even of as a Canadian, what kind of phone plan I should get. So it was super helpful. I know myself and a couple other friends at school were going to make the survey up, and we'll send it out on the Monday, I think, so in a couple days.
Yeah.
And then we'll be able to pair up people because we'll use kind of how you answer the survey to best pair up incoming people with current members of the class, so it's hopefully a good fit all the way around.
Mm-hmm. I have faith in you, Carl.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
That's
oh,
great.
Yeah. You can do it.
Shout out to Lauren. Shout out to Jasmine. not just me, but thank you.
A lot of shout outs on this episode.
Yeah. Our class is so big; it's really a team effort.
Yeah, like, yeah. We are the biggest program still. So mm-hmm. 30 people is a lot for a grad program.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats, guys, on getting in, and if you didn't, sticking with it. If you're really passionate about mm-hmm. genetic counseling and everything, you'll get there, and it's an amazing career I think to dive into. And
100%.
And if you did get in, and you're looking to connect with current students, now we can say that, then reach out to us, info@dnapodcast.com. And even if you get into another program, between the four of us, I'm sure we'll know someone at that program we could connect you with and everything. So mm-hmm. genetic counseling is all about networking, I guess.
It really is.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kira, thank you so much for having us on.
Yeah,
thank you.
I'm glad we could kind of cover a lot of different topics and international and everything like that. And that's a whole nother kind of journey for you guys. Listeners, if you want to check out the applicant episodes I mentioned, if you're thinking about applying or in planning on doing the application process this fall, it's episode 87 and 97. And if you are looking for more reading material and other resources to prep for grad school, I just wrote a blog post that came out today on mygenecouncil.com that offers good websites, books, journals, all kinds of things, and include that link in the show notes for this episode at dnapodcast.com. And if you want to follow on social media, on Twitter, I'm at dnapodcast. On Instagram, I'm at dnaradio. And today we are posting a picture of the four of us, and you can comment what program you got into or what program you'd love to attend or something of congrats match day kind of thing. And again, any questions, comments, concerns, connections, all at info@dnapodcast.com. Everything is dnapodcast.com. That's all you have to remember. So thanks for listening, guys, and join me next time to learn and discover new advances in the world of genetics. And
happy match day!
Before you go, I wanted to remind you about Keck Graduate Institute summer courses. KGI is an innovative grad school that is a member of the Claremont Colleges, Their name might sound familiar if you listen to the genetic counseling application episodes with Brenna, who is a genetic counseling grad student there, one of my friends. I receive a lot of emails from students, particularly those interested in genetic counseling, and it's always great to connect when I can and provide resources like these classes. The KGI courses are open to all undergraduates seeking careers in healthcare or life sciences. They have on-campus options in Claremont, California, as well as online courses. One of their online courses is actually in genetics, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show. It's an introductory course that will explore how the information in DNA contributes to disease, physical traits, and other inherited characteristics. It's a really great way to expose yourself to genetics, test out if you want to pursue a career in the field, refresh on some topics, prep for grad school. So many different reasons to expose yourself and take a course over the summer. Learn more and browse all of their courses by visiting kgi.edu/DNA today. Again, that's kgi.edu/DNA today.
The genes of you and me, the genes of you and me, we're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA.